listening to the Donna and Marley Show. That's us on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. Well, hate to start off with a bummer story, but another day, another story related loosely to Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, so Reese Witherspoon was just talking at this Elle event, and she spoke up about her own experience having had an assault herself when she was 16 by a director. Take a listen. The audio is not that good, but you can still hear.
I have my own experiences that have come back to me very vividly, and I found it really hard to sleep, hard to think, hard to communicate. A lot of the feelings I've been having about anxiety, about being honest, the guilt for not speaking up earlier, for taking action, true disgust at the director who assaulted me when I was 16 years old, and anger that I felt at the agents and the producer.
Wow. And she doesn't name names, but apparently, I mean, just the Harvey Weinstein, all the stories about this have made her feel compelled to speak out. She says, because I feel really, really encouraged that there will be a new normal. Life is going to be different for us now because we have your back, and it makes me feel better because it's about time. I'm so sad to have to talk about these issues, but I would be remiss not to. She also said, I wish I could tell you that that was an isolated incident, but sadly it wasn't. I've had multiple experiences of harassment and sexual assault, and I don't speak about them very often. It's so, I think, powerful to hear her speak about this because it really doesn't feel like something that she, it's coming from such a kind of like sacred place within her, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like she really has not talked about this before.
Well, I bet there's clearly a lot of people haven't talked about it before because it was like the normal, you know, like she says she felt ashamed for not speaking up. I don't think she needs to feel ashamed. I think it's cool that people are talking about it now, but I don't think you should shame yourself for not having talked about it because that's what these powerful bullies do, is they manipulate you into thinking that if you talk, your job is on the line.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
None of it is your fault. She went on, we heard the end of that clip, but she says the anger at the agents and the producers who made me feel that silence was a condition of my employment. Mm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Totally get it. I love that these women are speaking out about this, and men also.
Yeah.
I love that men are being supportive. I know there's a new hashtag on Twitter that says we hear you, so that men are using.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because the initial hashtag, of course, is Me Too, women sharing their stories. And it's not just women in show business. It's all sorts of people.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like men could use that as well. If they've been harassed or assaulted. I mean, just hashtag Me Too. It just shows the problem. I mean, and there's so many sides of this. We've said a lot of times, but, you know, this morning also stories from Jennifer Lawrence and then Kevin Smith talking about his career. But one that actually kind of caught my eye, too, was an old clip from Corey Feldman been on The View in 2013 and him bringing it up.
Oh, my gosh. He has been pretty outspoken about this problem for a long time.
Yeah. But like the idea that Barbara Walters and the ladies of The View were not, were not sort of the culture of, let's get the word out there. Take a listen.
There are people that were the people that did this to both me and Corey that are still working. They're still out there, and they're some of the richest, most powerful people in this business.
And they are.
And they do not want me saying what I'm saying right now.
Are you saying that they're pedophiles?
Yes.
And that they're still in this business?
Yes.
That's what you were saying in your book. When you talk to when you talk to parents,
they want me here right now. Trust
Corey,
me. They want me dead.
There are a lot of parents out here who want to put their kids in this business. Their kids are cute. They're great actors. Da, da, da. What would you say to a parent who just has the best of intentions who's coming here with their child? If you're saying that there's a lot of predators in this industry,
it's a many feathered bird. Okay, be careful what you wish for. That's what I'll tell you. You know, don't go into it with naivety. Don't go into it thinking that it's all roses and sunglasses and
an entire industry.
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to say that it's a very important, serious topic.
I mean, the way Barbara comes off there.
Kind of dismissive almost.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, and I can't tell what she's really getting at there, because in the beginning, she genuinely, I think, seems really, really shocked. And it's kind of maybe coming from, like, wow, I really didn't know this. If you can believe that about Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
But then at the end, yeah, you're damaging an entire industry. I'm not sure if she's saying that from like a journalistic perspective and saying, do you understand the power of your words right now? I mean, like, that's a really powerful thing to say. And him saying yes. Or if it's coming off like, do you know what you're doing to people right now? And right. kind of defensive.
Or you can't blame everybody.
Yeah.
For, yes. you know, that for... Yes.
For those isolated incidents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I guess he's saying it's not isolated. It's a huge problem and it's yeah. larger than you realize. But there are good people
yes.
as well. And I think that's where Barbara Walters was coming from. Was yeah. like, okay, you can't throw everybody under the bus. But
yeah.
this guy is in pain while he's yeah. talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's for as long as I can remember, he, you know, since he became an adult,
yeah.
he's always talked about this.
Yeah.
Him and Corey so Haim yeah. as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's really sad. Remember when Ryan Murphy had the show Feud with yeah. Joan Crawford and Bette Davis? It was a problem back then.
Oh,
I mean, they depicted that back then and how women felt pressured to like sleep with these producers so they could get their films made.
Oh, it's always been a problem. It's everywhere too.
Yes.
Everywhere. This yes. isn't just Hollywood. This isn't just entertainment. This is, I saw a quote the other day and I don't know, it was from a famous person, but they said, this isn't a problem in Hollywood. This is a human problem.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I definitely think that that's true. I talked about this for a long time, but I think it's just now
people are listening
in this, you know, with this big of a celebrity in the entertainment industry, of course, since it's in the entertainment industry as well. That's why we're, you know, it implicates so many areas of entertainment and pop culture.
Yeah.
But I think it sheds a light on the fact that it's happening everywhere.
Absolutely.
And I think it probably overall has gone down because, you know, 100 years ago or whatever, no one's talking about this.
Right.
And it's probably not even thought of as any sort of like, you know, it's like, oh, there's harder things going on,
yeah.
you know, suck it up.
Right.
But yeah, it's cool again. And I think just going back to Reese Witherspoon, I guess just that. You know, it is hopefully going to affect a new normal.
I think so. I'm hoping so, too. I think the thing with Corey Feldman, just real quick, was
yeah.
that he didn't name names on The View at that time. And I think that's the difference between then and now, is that people are saying, that man right there, mm-hmm. he's the guy.
A lot of people still aren't, though. I
True.
Mean, Harvey Weinstein is the, you know, because
the
it was...
The catalyst.
It
yeah.
was... reported and there's evidence and there's so many accounts, but Reese Witherspoon didn't name names.
Right.
You know, a lot of other people aren't naming names. And I think that gets back to, again, it's, there's just so much out there right now. I was reading something the other day about like, you know, I don't think we need to pressure anyone to name names. We don't need to pressure anyone to talk about it. It's just, everyone is going to deal with it in their own way, in their
yeah.
own time.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah. you, of course, appreciate the people that are coming out.
Definitely. And we'll have more on Harvey Weinstein coming up around. We'll do that around 11:30 this morning. When we come back, though, we've got these three things. Today, our topic is WTF. That's up next on My Talk 107.1. Discovering something brand new. I'm in love with the shape of you. When we came, we let the story begin. We're going out on our first date. You and me are thrifty, so go all you can eat. Fill up your bag and I fill up the plate. We talk for hours and hours about the sweet and the sour and how your family's doing okay. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. You're listening to the Donna and Marley Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. It is time for three things. Our topic for these three things today is WTF.
These three things from Donna and Mar.
Number one.
Okay. Okay, number one is the conclusion of one of the most WTF stories within the past year. And that is when the guy was dragged off the United Airlines flight.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when that was just the biggest story? No one, everyone could not stop talking about it, thinking about it. Okay, so the conclusion of this is that the officers who dragged this guy off the United Airlines flights have been canned, and a third has resigned. So this is 6 months after the violent incident was caught on video and went viral. The Chicago Department of Aviation released a report outlining why it fired an officer, sergeant, and suspended two others for their role in this. So this is what happened. It was a massive PR crisis. And then remember, the CEO said he was behind his staff's actions. He later resigned and apologized, or he apologized at least. So one officer was fired for improperly escalating the incident.
Okay.
Making it more aggressive than it needed to be. One sergeant was fired after removing facts from an employee report.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's at least the two of them. And then Dow, he's the man that was dragged off. He settled with United for an undisclosed amount. He suffered a concussion, broken nose, and lost two teeth during this incident.
That's insane.
His lawyer said, this is not a day of celebration in terms of these other guys being fired for Mr. Dow, who's neither vindictive nor happy about the findings.
Sure.
There's a lesson to be learned here for police officers at all levels.
Wow. And this, and that guy is, you know, a doctor, the guy who was dragged off the plane. It's not like he was some drunken, crazy fool. So, wow, that's a really good WTF follow-up. Thank you.
Number two.
Okay, second on the list, Donna, a woman just ran a marathon in high heels. She did.
26 miles?
She ran a full marathon in heels. Yes, she did.
Is there video proof of this?
Yeah, there is. And there's photos. She broke a world record, actually, for running a marathon in heels. So
there's a record?
Irene Sewell of Chattanooga, Tennessee. A few years ago, she found out about another woman who was trying to be the fastest marathon runner in heels. She said, well, she didn't get the record. So I was reading about her and thought, like, maybe I could, because she has a dancing background. So, like, she's used to being in heels. She also now has a running background. She used to be, again, a professional ballroom dancer. So she was training for this marathon in heels. Her podiatrist said she should do normal training and then in tennis shoes and then sub in the heels every once in a while so that she's still used to it.
That's how she trained.
Yeah.
But she had to run the entire thing in heels.
She ran the entire thing in heels. But, like, you know, when you're getting used to a marathon or running a marathon, you need to be used to whatever you're going to actually run it in.
Sure.
When you're
okay.
just training. So yeah, she ran it ultimately the whole time in 3-inch stilettos. She actually brought 6 pairs of the same shoe to the marathon, ranging in size from 7 to 7.5 to 9.
Oh, I guess
depending
if your feet
on what
swell.
She wants. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
So congratulations to her. She had to do it in, I believe, somewhere around under 7 hours. And she did it and she got the world record. So there you go.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Good for her. Way to go, girl.
Number three.
Okay. And then finally, sex injuries are on the rise, Donna. WTF. Doctors say that sex injuries are the number one way that couples hurt themselves. Ooh. They are way up. They're up 400% over the past 5 years.
What does that even mean? Like, we fell off the bed, hit our head.
Yeah, getting injured during sex.
Okay, it's not like, ouch, that's, you know, don't do that again.
Well, if you have to go in for it, then yeah. Yeah, it
no,
is.
No, I'm saying, are people breaking things during normal sex?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Anything sex related. Yeah. You get a concussion. You fall out of the shower.
You break your hoo-ha.
Yeah, you break your hoo-ha. You break your hootie cackle. Yeah, all of those are sex related injuries. I can't believe they're up 400% in the past 5 years.
Like, guys, what are you doing? Be careful.
What changed in the past 5 years that we're getting injured so much more?
People are watching more porn.
Yeah.
I know that.
Looking
that's
on
never
social
changed.
Media at all these different sex positions trying to spice up their sex life.
That could be, or you just check in your email over, you know, the other person's shoulder.
You're on your phone.
Yeah.
50 Shades of Grey, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah. And the location where people have the most sex injuries is the shower.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Okay. Can I throw in a bonus WTF for these three things?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had the weirdest thing happen to me. If anything weird can happen with a gadget or technology, it will happen to me. Okay, this morning, I'm clickety-clack, da-da-da, typing, finish working, I start reading a piece of paper. I look up, and my computer screen, everything on it is on its side. The entire screen.
Basically, just her screen, instead of having everything normal and horizontal, everything's written, and it's actually, it's no longer horizontal. Everything is like written vertically.
Almost upside down, but not quite upside down. So I'm turning my head trying to read and the mouse is possessed. I have never seen that in my life. So I start calling for help. I'm like, Donnie, come here. Look at this. And he's like, what the hell? I've never seen that in my life. Bradley, can you help? I can't help you, boo. I'm like, this is the strangest thing. So I've got people, IT people working on this right now because I share the computer with Dawn. Poor Dawn is probably like, what is going on? So that is my bonus WTF. May that never happen to you. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to just let you believe this conspiracy. Just going to leave it right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I see your condescending smirk.
It's not condescending. We're going to have to talk about this on the other side.
We're going to hit the couch soon coming up.
My Talk 107.1. Everything.
Ah, blurg!
Entertainment. Best as I can.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for listening. It's Donna and Marley on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. We're just coming off of our These Three Things segment, WTF. That was the topic for today. And I threw in a bonus.
Donna had a bonus because she had a computer issue this morning. And we left it off at, I'm always deciding how to respond because I'm more of a millennial, or I am a millennial. I don't know how to respond and just try and be helpful. But you're losing your mind so much that I, like, don't know how to approach it correctly.
I was laughing about this one today.
Yes, I know. But you were, like, kind of making it into, this is something that's out of my control. And you know, so, and, like, it's something that no one knows how it happened or anything. And in my mind, I'm going, okay, obviously, you know, you just accidentally hit something and it's totally just, like, a couple keys on the computer. So I think that's probably what it is.
Okay. So anyways, it happened. It was about fixing it at that point.
I know, which it always is.
Yeah.
It always is. You know, like, that's the biggest, I would say, and I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just saying, like, whenever I help either, or like my mom or anything with technology too, it's not what happens. It's the troubleshooting that is the, like, thing that a lot of times.
You think there's a lack of patience?
No, I think so. When people get really frustrated with technology, like, it becomes a really emotional experience.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, this never works for me. When it's like, no, like, computers make sense. Like, we just need to, like, let's figure out what happened. And then the troubleshooting and, like, that next step, I think, is what becomes frustrating in, like, a language barrier between someone who's in their 20s and 30s versus someone who's in their 50s and 60s. Because the troubleshooting, like, because our minds automatically go to troubleshooting, meaning fixing the problem.
Yeah.
And that, you know, doesn't happen for you.
Well, I will respectfully disagree with everything you just said, because I did troubleshoot. I tried control alt delete. I tried shutting down the computer and then rebooting it. Mm-hmm. Tried all the things that would make sense, and it didn't work.
Yeah. Still, I would have. Yeah. But whatever. Let's let her. This isn't me. I'm just saying that's why I don't know how to respond exactly, because that's how I feel.
Okay. Here's Fawn.
So we've got a lot of people on the phones. Hey, Fawn.
Hi.
How's it going? What did you want to add to the conversation?
I've actually had the same thing happen to me before, and I went through all of the steps as well, just like Donna. And then I knew my next step would be I need to have someone else fix it for me.
Yes.
I work in the field all day for work, and I listen to you ladies. So I knew it was going to be a couple of days before I was in-house again. So unfortunately, I was stuck like that for a couple of days. And it turns out it is something as simple as Control, Alt, and then your side arrows until you get it the way that you want it. So
Easy peasy. Now I know.
Okay, so if I'm just going to try and be helpful here, like I would say number one steps for troubleshooting this kind of issue wouldn't be Control-Alt-Delete, because that just brings you back to a home screen, and it wouldn't be restarting your computer, although those things are helpful. Like, I think if you have already tried other troubleshooting efforts, I would say for something like this, what you would do is hop on another computer or your phone and Google... My screen rotated. How do I turn it back?
That's funny you say that, because somebody did. Cassie sent an email. She's like, just Google how to flip a screen. I was like, exactly. I would, but I didn't have another computer. I suppose I could have done it on my phone.
But you did have another computer. There's another computer in there.
I guess there is. Yes. I was going to say Brad was on it, but yeah.
No, okay. All right. Well, that's helpful. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's probably, we can take one more call, but I think that's probably what everyone's going to say.
Okay.
Hey, Michelle, what did you want to add to the conversation?
Hey, I was just going to say, and I'm in my 50s. I'm not a techie person, but this happened to me, and I was so frustrated because it happened to be like in the middle of the night, and I'm working on something, and I'm like, what the heck? And so I Googled it, and it's just a view.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was easy as Control Alt and then hit the arrow. I just went into my control panel, and then, you know, you look for the view and you change it because it switches from landscape to portrait. And I don't know why or how it did that, but yeah, it's an easy fix.
Okay.
So if I can do it.
Anybody can do it.
Well, so what would have happened, though, is if that's how you change the screen by hitting Control Alt and the up arrow or another arrow, that's what would have happened. Your hands would have you accidentally hit that, you know, which is not like, that's not a weird combination of keys to hit. That's not like, oh my God, I hit Q, R, and, you know, the left parenthesis or something. Like, it's very sensible that you might accidentally hit Control Alt up arrow. You use those keys all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Appreciate the calls.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Here we go. We're going to grab a snack, and now we're going to talk about television.
I like to sit on the couch and watch TV.
Time to talk TV with Donna and Marley. Get their take on what to binge watch and what to delete. So get on the couch.
David Letterman has resurfaced.
Yes, he was on Kimmel last night, and of course it was great. A lot of fun. They love each other. I mean, Kimmel has always said Letterman was one of his hugest influences. Letterman was there in full force with his beard.
Yes.
And he had a lot of fun and cool things to say. But I think one thing that we've been wondering about is that Letterman show that is going to hit Netflix. So they talked a little bit about what that's going to be like.
I'll tell you who we got. You know that commercial where the guy saws a rowboat in half?
Yeah.
And then he, with some kind of sealant, he puts it back together. We got his brother.
Oh, his brother.
We got his brother.
Oh, wow.
Cute. He's coming back.
He is back.
I love that Kimmel had him on, because Kimmel was just profiled on CBS Sunday Morning, and his love for David Letterman is off the charts. I mean, he was 15 years old or 16 years old, and his birthday cake was a David Letterman birthday cake. So,
oh, yeah.
So he was like, if he knew how much I loved him, he probably wouldn't be on the show right now as a guest.
Yeah, exactly. I think he has to keep his fanboy under wraps.
Yes.
But yeah, Letterman, I mean, this I felt like was kind of a surprising moment, but very cool, kind of talking about how he's changed since ending his show.
I'm a bit of a different person. Thank God, because the great struggle in life is to be better each and every day. And if you take a look around the horizon of humanity, it's my God, is there anything we can do, big or small, to make the life of just one person a little bit better? And that's no small accomplishment.
Aww.
Thank you.
That's really sweet and tender.
Right? I know.
Wow, Dave.
Like, different than what we're used to, maybe, from him.
Yeah, we're usually used to his sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did get to some of the funnier stuff as well. They talked about how he's known for sending funny gifts.
Many, many, many years ago, my niece got married. So I thought long and hard. I said, I got to get big, impressive presents because I am the top star of the day. And so I figured it out, and it's you get a set of tires. And you wrap them up individually, so you have four enormous gifts. And they're tires. And so I thought, well, this is fantastic. You know, my work is done here. Who cares if they want them or if they use them?
You sent me, a few days after you left the Late Show,
That's right.
Box of what appeared to be all of your ties.
You're exactly correct.
And I was quite delighted by that.
Good. I'm happy. See, that's how it's supposed
and
to
I
work.
And I still am delighted.
And one time, my agent, years and years ago, his son was having a bar mitzvah, sent him a carton of cigarettes. Now,
that's funny.
That's funny. David's back.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Are you going to watch his new show?
Yeah, I'll definitely check that. Yeah, and that's going to be a Netflix show and kind of him doing his own kind of interviews that he wants, but although we don't know a lot more than that. Okay, I really like the tire idea. I would gladly accept that gift. Tires are so expensive.
100%.
I know. I'd be like, oh my gosh, amazing. I don't have to buy tires.
Yes.
For so many years.
Mar, you're becoming practical.
That's a great gift. I mean, I just know how expensive they are. They're so expensive.
Do you need tires? Is that what you're getting at right now?
No, but every time I have to, and I've had to buy them like a few times.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Man. Also, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's like smelling those ties when he goes to bed at night.
Oh, gross.
He is. He was
he's just like sniffing them. I'll never dry clean
you. I still
you.
Appreciate them. Like he's batting that fanboy down inside of him with a bat. It's like, stay down there, guy.
Gross.
No, just because he loves him so much.
I know.
Not in a gross way. He just loves him. He's like sleeping with them every night, like his teddy bear.
And his wife is like, okay.
Yeah,
it's that's either true. The ties or me.
That's true. And he's decide. Like, how about both?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love that he was on with Kimmel. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. When while we're, in the TV realm of things, when we come back, we're going to talk about the most binge-watchable TV shows. What's the fastest you've ever binge-watched something? Mar, I know you have a story.
So, I do.
Yeah, we'll get to that and more coming up next on My Talk 107.1.
Eyes wide open and I got one thing stuck in my mind, wondering if I dodged a bullet or just lost the love of my life.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening, you guys. It's Donna and Marley on My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. Oh, another day, another term. Binge racing. Don't worry, it's not something that the guy you were dating is gonna do to you. You know, like ghosting.
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing.
It's not a dating term, yeah.
It's not a dating term.
No.
It's a TV term.
It is a TV term. It means basically racing someone, how fast you can binge watch something. Okay.
Yes.
It's when subscribers watch an entire season of something within the first 24 hours of its release. Okay, so you're racing to the finish.
Wow, that's quick.
And they've come up with the most binge watch show from Netflix, or Netflix has released this information. And I was kind of surprised by a lot of the shows on this list.
I was too.
Yeah, we wanted to know, what have you binge watched the fastest? And have you ever binge watched something in less than 24 hours? What was it? 651-641-1071.
Okay.
Okay, so they give us 20, the top 20 at least, and Master of None is on here, which I get, I guess.
I mean, okay, so that's a comedy.
Aziz Ansari's show. I guess I get that because it's a good show. That said, it's not like a lot happens. It's not like you're hanging on a cliffhanger at the end of an episode.
Right.
So it kind of surprises me in that way.
I think it's because you can be throwing in a load of whites while you're watching it.
Hmm.
A little bit. Maybe not so much as some of the other ones on the list.
Yeah. Chewing gum is next on the list. And again, let us know what you've binge watched, what you've binge raced. The fastest you've ever binge watched a show. 651-641-1071. Chewing gum is really good. It's really funny.
Okay. And again, that's just like a short comedy, right?
Yeah, it is a really short comedy and it's got short episodes. I binge watched the first season of it. I haven't gone on to finish it though at this point. And if you don't know what that is, it's about a young black gal in England kind of growing up and what her life is like and her challenges of kind of like being raised in a very conservative home. It's very funny. 18 is Glow. That's the wrestling show, right?
Yeah.
You watched some of that, right?
I did. Yeah. I watched it and then I kind of just fizzled out
Didn't
of it.
Didn't love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Love. Love is so good.
Yeah, I've watched that.
Yeah, I binge watched.
I watched the first season, I think.
The first season of that. Also on Netflix. Kind of like two people in their 30s trying to make it in LA and their love story. House of Cards, obviously, that's a big one. Although a lot of people, I think, fall out of that or dip back in. But that's a really popular one. That's 16. And then Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt comes in at 15. These are the most binge-watchable shows.
It's so weird because those aren't the types of shows that I would binge-watch. Those are the types that I'd watch when I had time.
Uh-huh.
Like, not where you're like, I'm dying to see the next episode.
Yeah.
They're not those kinds of shows. They're all encapsulated in one episode.
I know. I think a lot of these are like that. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for me, I want to know, like, I watched The Keepers and Making a Murderer, where I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen next in the case?
Yeah.
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to skip to the top of the list now. Number one is Gilmore Girls, A Year in the Life.
Okay. If you're catching up.
I get that just because people are such diehard fans and it was such a long time.
Yes.
Before that came back. But number two, Fuller House?
Don't get it.
What?
I don't get it.
Number three, Marvel's The Defenders. Okay, you're a big Marvel fan. Number four, The Seven Deadly Sins.
Okay, now you're getting back into my neck of the woods.
Number five, The Ranch.
Cute show, but again, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Okay, number six, Donna. Santa Clarita Diet.
Oh, I hated that show.
How is that even on any list?
It's on a top 10.
Besides some of the worst shows Netflix has had.
I agree, but people love that one too.
I know.
Annika's on the line. Hey there.
Hi.
So what have you first of all,
I can tell you, Fuller House, I have a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And I think they have the corner on that market. I mean, she'll binge that in less than 24 hours.
Wow.
So I'm sure that's why that's number two.
So does she know the old Full House as well?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Okay.
So, all of the seasons are on Hulu.
Okay.
Or TV Land or whatever.
Okay.
Okay, so that's how she's familiar with the show in syndication.
Correct. Yep, exactly. Okay. But I personally binge, it's a little show, it's on Amazon Prime called Red Oaks.
Okay.
And it's with Paul Reiser, Jennifer Grey, Richard Kind, and it's about a tennis club in the 80s. And the third and final season is coming out this Friday.
Hmm.
But my husband and I both binge that.
And it was really good? You really liked it?
Yes, awesome 80s music. And yeah, Paul Reiser is very good in it.
Oh, I love him.
Got it.
Yeah.
And Richard Kind is really good too. Okay, thank you.
That's cool. There is so much original programming that there's always stuff you haven't even heard about.
You're right.
So that's really cool to hear about Red Oaks, she said, on Amazon.
Red Oaks, 651-641-1071. We want to know what is the last thing you binge raced.
Yeah, the fastest thing you've ever binge watched. Mine was Stranger Things. I think that's the fastest I've ever binge watched that because I watched that whole thing in under 24 hours.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Now, did you have that feeling though, Mar? Like, oh my God, I can't wait to see the next episode.
Yes. I just loved it. I was just engrossed.
Oh, I love that you're engrossed.
Yeah. Wanted to know what happened so badly.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's number 10 on the list.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So it's on there. The funny thing though, is that the only other one that I remember binge watching as fast or very fast is not similar at all. And it's Downton Abbey.
Oh, yeah. I want to watch that.
That's the only other show that I've been watched in that same way, like where I couldn't stop watching it. And it's polar opposite show. It's not like,
absolutely.
Yeah, there isn't like a murder mystery you're trying to figure out. It's not scary at all.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I could not stop watching that. I remember one day, and this was when I was in a different time slot here at My Talk, but I binge watched that until 5 a.m. I couldn't stop.
Oh my gosh, Mar.
I have to go to work now.
The last time I really felt that way, aside from The Keepers, that's that story about the nun who was murdered.
Yes, yeah.
I was like The Sopranos. Mm. Back in the day, everybody was like,
yes.
People were trying to get their hands on videotapes of it. And it was like, here, you could have the first 4 episodes. Yeah. And people were like, no, I get it next.
The OG binge watch.
Yeah. All right. We got Katrina on the line. She's on line one. Hi, okay. Katrina.
Hi.
Hi. What's the last thing you raced through as far as binge watching goes?
Mozart in the Jungle on Amazon.
Yeah.
It's only 30 minutes long, so it just like popped into the next episode, and I just could not turn it off. They're all so adorable on that show.
It's supposed to be so good.
Really? Okay.
Totally. Thanks, Katrina. All right. We've got another call on the line.
Hi. Hey there.
Welcome to the show. You're on the air. What did you binge watch?
Hi, my name's Tim. I watched Goliath on Amazon with Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yeah, this is great. These are all like a little bit deeper cuts.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an awesome show. And Marley, you're awesome. Keep it up. You guys are good.
Thanks, brother.
Sweet.
Bye.
Marley fan club.
Fan of the show. Thank you. We appreciate you listening. Yeah, those are awesome. Red Oaks, Mozart in the Jungle, and Goliath. I've heard all of those, but they're a little off the beaten path. So that's cool.
I love when we hear about new shows or things that we haven't dabbled in.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. And number one on the list was Gilmore Girls, wasn't it, right?
Number one on the list, Gilmore Girls. So yeah, just completing the top 10, we kind of bopped around on this list. But 6 was Santa Clarita Diet. 7 was Trailer Park Boys. 8 was F is for Family. 9 is Orange is the New Black.
No, 10, that makes sense.
Stranger Things.
Okay. Cool. That's your new term, everybody.
There you go.
Binge racing, just so you know, so you could sound cool with all the, you know, the hip cats, you know.
The hip cats.
Or the hep cats. I don't know what the word is. Okay. So we got to talk about Larry King. Whoa, this story is interesting.
I know. I never thought I'd feel so strongly about Larry King, but here I am.
Larry King's family wants him to dump his old lady.
Yeah.
We'll tell you why when we come right back. It's Donna and Marley. We're broadcasting, podcasting. What are we doing, Mar?
We're streaming at mytalk1071.com, and we're also available on the Podcast One network.
Thank you. All right, we'll be right back. Go.
Go. Go. My Talk 1071. Everything.
Consciousness isn't a journey upward, but a journey inward. Not a pyramid, but a maze.
Entertainment.